Man is the storytelling animal, and in stories are his identity, his meaning, his very lifeblood. So says Salman Rushdie, acclaimed magic realist, author, and provocateur. He couldn't have put it better. And so we have set out to explore this very lifeblood of humanity in season 2 of Contented. I am your host, Padmaja Narsipur. If each of our lives is a story, the world is our theater and we are all actors playing a part in it. In the house today are two artist entrepreneurs who thrive on telling stories through the medium of theater.
So welcome to Contented, and today we are very excited to have with us Sharath and Dr. Rajshree from You and Me Theater. Sharath and Dr. Rajshree, welcome. We are so proud to have you here with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Communication and journalism has been juggling multiple roles over 2 decades. As an acclaimed actress, dancer, guest faculty for a postgraduate course, a board member of a college, and as a graphic designer. Sharath Parvathwani, an electrical engineer turned scriptwriter, returned home after a decade in the US and immersed himself into his first love, theater. His first screenplay was made into the Hindi movie Coffee Bloom, and that kickstarted his new career in the arts. Together, Dr. Rajshree and Sharath formed You and Me Theater, an emerging hotspot for theater lovers in South Bangalore. They head a team of actors, writers, directors, technicians, and support staff, and are mentored by a veteran of stage and TV, Mr. Sethuram SN. When I met them, it didn't take much to get the conversation going. Without much ado, let's break a leg.
As you both are telling a lot of stories through the medium of theater, we thought it'll be great to have you on our podcast. So let's start with a story. Tell us a story.
My favorite story ever is the Mahabharata. It encompasses all stories, you know, all plights of the human condition, joys and ecstasies and conflicts and resolutions and rights and wrongs and everything. So that has always been my favorite story since childhood. Mm-hmm. So any story you take will get some kind of a reference to Mahabharata, if not direct, at least an indirect, implied reference to one of the stories or sub-stories of the Mahabharata.
I think there's some reference or a verse somewhere that says that everything else is, spit out by Vyasa.
Anything that is not found in the Mahabharata, you won't find it outside. That is my hands down favorite story of all time. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I have a lot of, my tastes are eclectic. So I'd be hard pressed to pick a story that, you know, that is like a constant favorite with me.
Mm-hmm. I agree with him because Mahabharata specifically kind of speaks of very real characters. Mm-hmm. Unlike a lot of other stories that we've read, there are these black and white characters. There are ideal good characters and bad characters, mm-hmm. which don't happen in the Mahabharata. Mm-hmm. No matter how good they seem to be, they also have a flip side. They also have a negative shade of, which is like all of us, it seems more real, more relatable even to this day. Mm-hmm. So that is what makes me connect to the story of Mahabharata and the characters there mm-hmm. so well mm-hmm. that, it seems very real. It is not like an ideal story, ideal fictitious scenario that has been created by the storyteller.
And since this is like a storytelling series podcast that you're doing, I think the Vyasa is a master of storytelling mm-hmm. because just the nuances, as she said, in the characters or mm-hmm. in the situations mm-hmm. are like all of it leads up to a crescendo just before the war starts, and then there you have the greatest, spiritual,
discourse
in the just before a major massacre is about to happen. Correct. That is great drama. Mm-hmm. So, that is the genius of the storytelling. And I don't think I've come across any story, though I love a lot of other stories. Nothing comes close to the Mahabharata.
How do you use the stories from the Mahabharata when you want to convey the power of stories to your students, the people who attend the workshop, for example?
We I think it unconsciously, I mean, we have grown up with those stories. And I'm a professional writer as well.
Okay.
So, you know, these stories keep coming back so unconsciously or subconsciously in the characters that we create or in the situations that we design. We don't consciously refer back to a particular story in the Bharata, but it is so ingrained and inbuilt in a, in my subconscious at least, that like characteristics of Karna, which is like a tragic hero, somehow comes about when you are in one of the storytelling structure or building a character to your story. These things like from Karna and Arjuna and Ekalavya and all, they keep coming up without consciously even referring to them.
Dr. Rajshri, is there a particular character from the Mahabharata who resonates with you?
One character that I would want to talk about is Arjuna, because he is always, even among the Pandavas, he is always the more charismatic, the more charming of the five brothers, and he's always like considered more attractive, more talented than everyone else. Though he's built, given that kind of a built up throughout the story, at the end he becomes the most vulnerable, the most a person who is just, who does not know what to do. You know, like most of us, he's that vulnerable state is also exposed so well that you can relate to that person, though he's considered as like the hero. Unlike the other heroes that we're otherwise exposed to, they never lose. They never say, I've lost or I don't know. So Arjuna has that guts to say, help me, give me that support. Another character that I, on a personal level, would connect to is Draupadi. As a woman, there is a lot of connection that I would build with her. In terms of the strength she shows at various different contexts, and the determination, the decisions that she takes is so very relatable to you this day also. It's not mythology at all. I wouldn't really say it's mythology. It's true to this day.
So what are the hallmarks of a good storyteller? Could you share some tips with our listeners?
Sure. Everybody wants to listen to a compelling story. Nobody wants to listen to a boring story, obviously. So what makes a story compelling is what we teach in our sessions. Suppose you are starting out, you have an idea and you want to float a company, and you have a product or a service, and you want to tell somebody. The first people you tell are people you are close to, and who will not judge you and give you honest feedback and so on and so forth, whether your idea is good or not. So how are you going to tell that to them? Through a story.
Right.
And what makes a story interesting is there must be, even if it's a new idea, even if I'm telling a new story, some amount of relatability must be there for me to first get into the story. Then you give me whatever innovatively or creatively within that space is fine. I need to relate. It must surprise me, or it must, draw me into it. Through the power of its telling. And the power comes from the structure of storytelling. Like, for example, if I say that, such and such a person came to my house, unexpectedly. Okay. This is a story. Now, what is it that makes it interesting here?
You need to flesh it out a little bit.
Yeah, a person came to my house. Is that a story? Maybe.
It's a dull story.
Yeah. A person came to my house when nobody was there. Now, this makes you want to ask what next? What happened next? Okay. That element that arouses curiosity, is what makes a story a good one. So, there is a structure to it. So, what do you reveal first? What do you tell first? What do you hold back for later? All this comes as a craft of storytelling. And the content, the details that you fill in is the art. The way you structure it is the craft. So this craft is what one can learn. The art is unique to each of us. But the craft remains the same. And so what remains the same can be learned.
We love digging deep and bringing stories out of obscurity. Here's one such interesting tale from our epic, the Mahabharata. We chose an ancient version of the "A Tiger Never Changes Its Stripes" adage from the epic. Did you know that Karna had approached Dronacharya to teach him the art of warfare? But Drona refused to teach anyone who was not a Kshatriya. Karna's thirst to learn the art of warfare was so high that he approached Parshurama, Drona's mentor and a hater of Kshatriyas. Fearing rejection, he hid his birth identity from Parshurama. Karna's dedication and hard work knew no bounds, and within a short span of time, he had mastered his art so much so that Parshurama declared him his equal and taught him how to invoke the extremely powerful Brahmastra. Well, there's always a twist in every story. Indra, who was Arjuna's celestial father, didn't quite approve of anyone becoming more skilled than his own son. What could he do to disrupt the status quo? One afternoon, when Karna had offered his lap to his guru Parashurama to take a nap, Indra took the form of a bee and stung Karna on his thigh. Not wanting to disturb his teacher's sleep, Karna remained unperturbed. Indra stung again and again, causing Karna to bleed profusely. Yet, he never made a sound. When Parashurama got up and saw blood oozing out of Karna's thighs, he was overcome with rage. "Only a Kshatriya can withstand such pain. Tell me the truth. Who are you?" Karna's silence enraged Parshurama, making him forget the love he had towards his own student. It was then that he cursed Karna that the Brahmastra, the mother of all weapons, that he had been tutored in, would fail him at a moment when he most required it. We all know of the sad end that befell Karna in the Great War at the hands of the very Arjuna. The twisted moral in this story, if there is one, may be that suffering in silence is not always good for one. There's also a lesson for Guru Parashurama, whose towering rage led him to curse his favorite pupil. To his eternal regret, he handed out a terrible curse that led to the downfall of Karna in the Great War.
So, Dr. Rajshree, why do you think businesses should tell stories?
Businesses exist in the society, and so they can't isolate themselves from the society they live in, the community that they live. So, their prime objective becomes connecting to the people around them. Mm-hmm. How do you connect? Emotions. And how do you bring in emotions? Stories.
Right.
So, story, even if you give them data, even if you give them numbers and all your technical jargon, the easiest and the best way to connect to everyone mm-hmm. is through stories. In fact, storytelling has so gone deep into the business aspect that even the statistics and the data are now getting structured into a story mm-hmm. to be able to communicate that aspect to the employees in a better way. So, the story could be communicated from the company to the outside people or within the company itself.
Mm-hmm.
Structuring it as a story becomes way more relatable because there are emotions, there are characters, and it becomes easy to the human mind. It's somehow, mm-hmm. we are hardwired to connect to these stories than bullet points.
One observation I've had is, I mean, we live in this hyper-distracted world right now. And as you may know, we produce a lot of content for businesses. And they always inevitably ask us to tell stories, whether in a presentation deck, we create explainer videos, product videos, we create marketing videos. You know, all these storytelling, the duration of what we produce is getting shorter and shorter. People have the attention span of a goldfish now, which
yes.
is supposed to be 6 seconds.
Correct.
How do you still tell effective stories in this hyper-distracted world?
I think this is a very, very important
yes.
question. Thanks to, I think, the onslaught of all the information that we have, the social media. You know, you're getting information at such fast at a pace that is so fast
mm-hmm.
that you have to process information that at that speed. And so we are getting used to processing information at that high speed. So stories also can change format. So there is no fixed structure, fixed length or anything. So there is no fixed format for a story. But I think storytelling is a tool that can slightly extend this short attention span.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you know, the PPTs, it's even worse, you know.
Yeah.
So probably by the time you go to the second or third slide, the attention is gone.
Right.
Versus if you're telling them a story, the attention that you would have lost at 1 minute or 2 minutes, you can probably extend that to 5 minutes if your storytelling skill is good enough. So stories have that ability to, you know, stretch that attention limit a little more
mm-hmm.
than how much it would be if not for a story.
And yes, you may be, taking off from what she said, you may have built an effective story.
Mm-hmm.
But for a person to click on your video, they first see how long it is. When TV came and when ads started happening,
mm-hmm.
they had to compress a story into a minute or 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But still they were able to, I mean, if you're a good storyteller, within that time you can tell a good story.
Yes.
Yeah, certain stories may require a long format. You can't tell Mahabharata in 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure somebody must have tried it. So in 6 seconds, not that your video has to be 6 seconds, in 6 seconds you have to capture their attention. So yeah, so storytelling has now evolved into being where you grab my attention right now or I'm gone to another story.
So what is the story of You and Me Theater?
You and Me Theater was born 4 years back
mm-hmm.
When Sharat and I were working on a play together.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, we've had theater backgrounds. We go back to doing theater. I was doing theater for about 23 years before we started You and Me Theater. And Sharat was born into a family of theater people
mm-hmm.
and writers. So he's been doing theater since he was a child.
Mm-hmm.
But education and job and all of that happened. And in 2013, we were cast together in a production.
Mm-hmm.
So that is when we met. And we were not happy with the production that we were a part of at all.
Okay.
And we actually bonded over... ranting over, complaining about the play and the director and all of that.
Right.
And that kind of probably made us see the connection that we have and the commonalities that we see in our thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sharat was invited as to write and direct a play at Rangashankara for their Young Directors Festival. So we had to then, we didn't want to be a part of another team.
Mm-hmm.
And go under another name. So we said we will create our own team and give it a name and then start off. So we didn't think of it as a big company and that we'd be doing so much back then.
Mm-hmm.
We just thought we'll start doing plays in our own, under our own banner,
mm-hmm.
brand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how You and Me Theatre started.
What stories do you guys... you know, hear, listen to, I heard a reference to Netflix over there. I'm a dedicated Netflixer myself.
Same here.
But tell us about some of your passions when it comes to stories.
I'm not a very avid watcher, actually. I don't have cable TV at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know that actors don't watch their own stuff?
Right.
Like that.
Do you read?
No, but I do have a fascination for biographies.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I'm more attracted to real stories than fiction.
Sure.
So I have read a lot of biographies from Pratima Bedi to Draupadi, in fact.
Draupadi,
yeah.
Right.
So that has been, I have a good collection of biographies myself. So that is an interesting story. Real life stories make more connection with me.
After all, truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah,
right?
So, absolutely.
Right, yeah.
And business stories have always interested me.
Mm-hmm.
From when I was in college,
mm-hmm.
I always read stories about how businesses grew, how they faced challenges, and very unconventional stories of how things changed and they were, you know... they had the courage to break rules and go beyond limitations, and so such stories are very inspiring for me. For example, Rangashankara's story was very inspiring for me when I worked there as a volunteer when they started off, and that is where this interest in creating a space came about in my mind. So creating a space for performing art, creating a space for people to come and express and try out new things, started off from there. And that is when that was a very unique story of how Arundhati Nag started off. And her inspiration was Sanjana Kapoor, who
Prithvi Theatre.
Yeah, who started Prithvi Theatre when her entire family was doing films.
Mm-hmm.
So her father and Sanjana completely believed in the fact that theatre has a lot of potential, and how they kept the influence of films away from this and gave theatre such an awesome platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then got replicated at Rangashankara. And I attended seminars, learning more stories about such alternative spaces. And somehow, the kind of stories that I am attracted to is probably the is should connect to what's going on in my mind at that moment.
Most definitely. I think that's true of all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
depending on the phase of life we are in.
Exactly.
We relate to those stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this concept of creating a space was so much there in me. So I started reading more stories of how such spaces got created, how it is there in various other countries, and how they work. And all of that kind of cumulatively worked, I think, towards bringing this whole thing together.
Definitely. So, Sharad, what about you? Who are your heroes? What are you flexing at the moment? Any tips or recommendations for our listeners?
I have a lot of recommendations.
Okay.
In fact, in school and all, in your friends group, who would be the most popular? The guy who told the most interesting stories.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's like anybody.
Were you that guy?
Actually, no.
Right?
I wasn't. I was a very shy, introverted guy.
Okay.
And, I didn't. I mean, I used to tell jokes this time. I would never just barge into a group and own that room or something. I was not,
mm-hmm.
I'm not that kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is why I think through writing I can,
express,
satisfy that urge.
Yeah.
About what I have just recently watched, I watch a lot of Netflix, as I said. I read a lot of, our ancient Indian spiritual stuff,
mm-hmm.
Puranas, Itihasas, Mahabharata. I keep revisiting them.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, I watched Breaking Bad for the second time on Netflix.
Wow, okay.
That is my favorite show ever.
Is it?
Yeah, and I watched it twice. And it is long-form storytelling. It is important as a creator of content to have an eclectic taste so that something original can come from you, the pop mishmash of all of them. All of those influences.
You need to really
that
know
is
what
when, that is when you like out of the box and off the wall content comes out, when your influences are diverse and varied,
sure.
And then something comes out of that crazy chemical mixture.
Thank you so much for
being here with us today. And thank you so much for having us over.
Stories are aplenty, and we unraveled yet another one today. We hope you enjoyed it. We sure enjoyed putting this episode together. Until the next one, let the stories keep rolling.